Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
And I'm spending the last few weeks, last week I talked about who we are. We are a church. We are a people that are committed to biblical truth. So in the next few moments, I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about our commitment to spiritual maturity. Now, I want you to get this point. If you catch anything, catch this. You will become whatever you are committed to. Okay? You will become whatever you're committed to. So following Jesus, I want you to understand, is not just making a decision. It is about making a commitment. Because there's a big difference between decisions and commitment. Have you ever gone to the restaurant, and when you sit down and they hand you the menu, you look through all of the options, and they come to you and they say, can I take your order? And you go, I'm not sure, go to the next person. Anybody ever done that? It's been passed around the table, and everybody's waiting on you. You can't make up your mind. I have eaten with some of you, and it takes you 30 minutes. It's like an executive decision. It has to pass Congress before you can decide what you want to eat. Just let me order for you, and I'll help you, you know, so I can get my food out here. Some of you, it's making that decision. What options, and all the options, and I have been guilty of this because there have been times where I have ordered, and especially when you go to a Chinese restaurant, you don't really know what you want, you know, because there's everything so good. And so we order, and I order, and I say, okay, I'll take Kung Pao chicken. And as she's walking off, wait, I changed my mind. I want orange chicken. Okay, no problem. She goes off. There have been times when I have made the decision, and then she has already gone into the kitchen, delivered the order, and I said, ma'am, come here. I'd like to change my order. I changed my mind. Anybody ever done that? Anybody's wife ever done that, okay? Anybody's husband ever done that, right? Change their mind. But a commitment is different than a decision. A decision is something that you can change. A commitment can be adjusted, or a decision can be adjusted, but a commitment is different. A commitment is like a pilot in an airplane as he takes off on the runway, and when they say, we're ready to take off, and they hit the throttle of that engine, of those engines, of that super airliner and that huge jet, as they're rolling down the runway, there comes a point, and my dad's a pilot, and he's talked to me about this. He said, there comes a point where the pilot has to make a decision. It's called go, no go. And at go, no go, you have to not just make the decision that you're going to take off. You are committed because there is a line on the runway that those jets pass. And once you pass that line, even though you're on the ground, you have to get it off the ground. Because at go, no go, you cannot turn around. If you try to stop, you'll crash at the end of the runway. You have to make a complete commitment. Total commitment is called for when you're taking off in an airplane. You see, Webster says that commitment is a decision that cannot be recalled. That's what a commitment is. And if you had breakfast this morning and you looked on your plate and you had some bacon and you had eggs this morning, those chickens, they were involved in your breakfast. For that pig, he was totally committed. A commitment is different than a decision. And we see this in the scripture. We see Jesus in the garden. We see Jesus as he's praying. He knew what was being asked of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that he could make a decision, but he knew that not just the decision had to be made, but a commitment had to be made. And he said, Lord, if you're willing, please let this cup pass from me. But if not, Lord, let your will be done. That's what he said. Let your will be done. So I want you to make no mistake. As I talk to you about commitment, commitment is costly. Commitment is very costly. To the boxer, commitment is getting up after you've been knocked down. To the marathon runner, it's continuing the next 10 miles after the first mile your legs feel like lead. To the soldier, it's going over the next, taking the next hill when you don't know how much enemy is on the other side. To the missionary, it's saying goodbye to your family and goodbye to comforts. And to the Christian, a commitment is living the rest of your life the way that Jesus wants you to live and not the way that you want to live. Commitment is saying yes when you still don't really understand all of the question. That's what commitment really is. And that is exactly what Jesus calls us to. And that is exactly what our church is all about. We preach commitment. We talk about commitment. Commitment to spiritual maturity is a part of it. And so we see Jesus as he's walking down the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he comes upon some fishermen in Mark chapter 1, and he says this. He looks upon these guys, and what does he say? "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And what did they do? At once, they left their nets and they followed him. Follow me. Follow me. I want to make you fishers of men. That same call that Jesus made to those disciples on that seashore, the same call that he gave to Matthew as he sat in his tax collector's office, the same call that he made to all of the early disciples, the call that he made to Paul on the road to Damascus, is the same call that you and I have, the call to follow me. Come, follow me. Jesus isn't calling us to make a decision about him. Jesus is calling us to make a decision for him, a commitment for him. And my prayer is that each of us will learn to follow him, because following Jesus means committing to Jesus. It's important because that is one of the core principles of our church. One of the core principles of our church is to commit ourselves to spiritual maturity. Now, let me just help you to understand what commitment and spiritual maturity really is. First of all, spiritual maturity is something that is intentional. You will not grow as a Christian by accident. Come on, somebody. You don't accidentally become a better prayer warrior. You don't accidentally become or start reading your Bible. You don't accidentally become more spiritually mature. You don't grow by accident. You grow by your commitments. As a church, our goal is to move people from the community to the core. I have a little picture that I want to show you. This is a good idea of what our church is trying to do. We have a community that lives around us. It's the broadest circle. It's the biggest group of people. There are people in this community, all around this church, all in the city of Denton, all in Denton area, that are out, and they're just in the community. They don't know Jesus. They don't know about his hope. They don't know about his love. They don't know about his power. They don't know about him at all. And what our desire is to move them from just out in the community to part of the crowd, just people that show up on Sundays or show up on a Wednesday. And then as we move them from the crowd, we move them into our congregation. They get saved and they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And their life begins to change. And they've still got some things they still need to knock off their life. They're still trying to work out their salvation. They're still trying to learn and to grow. And so they're working and they're growing and they're trying to be discipled and they're coming and they're continually trying to progress. And then they become a part of the committed. They say, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to grow. I'm going to commit myself to this group of people. And they become a part of the core that begins to not only receive, but they begin to really give. And so they're giving out to the community. And that's what we're trying to do. You see, you have to be intentional. And this process right here, it doesn't happen by accident. Our church has an intentional process, whether we call it a roadmap or a pathway or a growth track, that really is not significant. But the point is that we call it discipleship. The point of the church, of Jesus Christ, the point of this church is not to get together and have a good service on Sunday morning. It's not to make converts. The point of the church, the Bible says, is to go and to make disciples, people that will follow Jesus, even when things get bad and things don't go right. We want to make disciples. We want to just not just throw somebody in, oh, thank God you're a Christian, see ya. We want to grow them. We want you to develop. And some of us need to continue that discipleship process. Understand this, that spiritual maturity is not just it's not just intentional, but it is incremental. You don't grow physically just overnight. The same way you grow physically is the same way you grow spiritually. It's a lifelong process. It's a process that happens. And when you try to skip stages of that process, it causes tremendous amounts of frustration. when you try to move farther than whether you're than your growth stage, you create frustration. So growing is incremental, and then growing is definitely, spiritual maturity is measurable. How many of you know that it's easy to spot someone who's truly growing in their faith in God? They're easy to spot. You know them because usually you can spot them. They're always around. They're always there. Listen to this. Spiritual maturity happens when you start living by your commitments instead of by your feelings. That's when you know that you are growing spiritually. And you don't, I don't feel like going to, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like, you know, reading my, but I'm committed to grow. And that's what spiritual maturity does. Let me tell you something. There are folks in this room, and I would call myself one of them, who are, look at the Dallas Cowboys. And I say about that because I'm a big sports guy, but there are some fans of the Dallas Cowboys, and then there are some followers of the Dallas Cowboys. And there's a difference. Church next door has that on their sign. Fan or not a fan, follower. When Dallas stunk, I have to make a confession. I quit rooting for them. Now I know you're going to say, Pastor, you have no moral foundation. You just lost respect. Let me tell you something, friends. I'm a winner. And I don't want to run around with losers if I'm going to be a winner. So I changed my allegiance to the New England Patriots. But come on, that's all right. That's all right. I can take it. I'm a big boy. During that time, I was a winner. 3 Super Bowls. 3. But now that Dak is in charge. Now we got Dak. Pastor Scott's back. I'm a fan of the Cowboys. I'm back with the Cowboys. Why? Because I'm just a fan. Now, some of you are followers. You rooted for them when they were absolutely terrible. You rooted for them in the days when Jason Garrett wasn't on the sidelines. He was actually on the field. You rooted for them when they were terrible. You stuck them out through all of Jerry's ups and downs and the drama of Tony Romo. You've been there. You are a follower. And let me tell you something. I applaud you because that right there shows that you are not just a fan. It's measurable. I can see it on you. Now, I can't say, but some of you are in. You are all in on the Dallas Cowboys. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. When it comes to spiritual maturity, we have to get all in. We have to say, you know what? I'm not just gonna serve God when it's convenient for me. I'm not just gonna serve God when I like it or serve God when things are going good. I'm gonna serve God no matter what happens. If we're winning or losing, I'm gonna serve the Lord. Nothing's gonna deter me. And so, in our church, let me just give you 5 things real quick that our church does, and then I'm gonna wrap it up. I'm gonna be very brief. We encourage spiritual maturity in our church by committing to several things. Number one, we encourage commitment to the family. To the family. When I was born in 1973, yes, there were hospitals and doctors in those days. But when I was born in 1973, I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I actually soiled myself. But you know what my parents did? They took me home. They knew that I couldn't do any of those things, but they still took me home. And what did they do? They fed me. They taught me. They helped me. They even changed my diapers. They did everything that needed to be. They encouraged me, and they took care of me in every way. And they cared for me. Why? Because they were committed. They were my family. One of the things that we encourage you to do is to be committed to the family. When I say not just a family, I'm talking about the family. When you become a follower of Jesus, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a part of the family of God. And for all of the believers that are around the world that serve Jesus and love Jesus and they're committed disciples of following Him, you become a part of that huge universal family all over this world, from Africa to Australia to America to Europe to South America, all over this world, you're a part of that family. But you can't just go connect to Australia and Africa and all those places all the time. You need a local family that will take you home from the hospital and care for you, and they'll change you when you're dirty, and they'll feed you when you're hungry, and they will help you to encourage you even when you're down, you don't know what you're doing. They will encourage you, and we encourage everybody that comes to our church to be committed to the family.
Amen.
Commit yourself to a church. Partner with the church around you, because let me tell you something. The difference between a member, a person who is a member of the family, and a person who just attends is found in one word, and it's the word commitment. When you're committed, now let me just say this. No family is perfect. This church is not perfect. And the reason why is because we're in it, and we're not perfect. Your pastor is not perfect. I'm not. I don't think any of you questioned that, but I just wanted to make sure that you understood. I'm not perfect. There will be times when at church, listen to me, hear me, somebody's going to make you upset. You're probably going to get offended in this church. Come on, I'm preaching now. Somebody's going to say something, do something, look at you a certain way. Somebody probably won't even shake your hand, and it's going to bother you. But you know what? If you're committed to the family, you don't discard your family just because your feelings got hurt, whether it was intentional or unintentional, because this is your family. The first time that I got a whooping, I didn't bail on my parents. Said, I'm going to stick it out because the food's good. So the first time you get offended by me or somebody at church or one of the leaders or staff members, stick it out because the food's good around here. Food's good around here. Commitments to family. Second thing is, we have a commitment. We want you to commit to learn. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. That means that you were not something before. Peter, James, and John, you're not what I want you to be, but I'm going to make you to be fishers of men. He called them to become something that they currently were not. They had to become learners. If you ever stop learning, you start dying, because you have to learn all of your life. A disciple is defined as a person who follows, a person who learns. And Peter, understanding this, writes later in a letter, he says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in Him. Be a learner of knowledge. Be a learner of His grace. At our church, we're developing those processes. One of the processes of how you connect to the commit to the family is you become a part of the family by going through a starting point. We have a starting point. Becoming this March, we are going to launch our starting point class. We're going to launch our growth track, pathway, whatever we decide to call it. But it's going to come in March. It will be on Sunday mornings. We are going to take care of childcare. So if there's someone who has children and they want to be a part of that learning experience on a Sunday morning, we are actually going to provide childcare so that you can come. We don't want to create any excuses. We want you to develop. We want you to grow. We want you to learn. So we're going to have classes that are going to help us to teach those things. We're going to have marriage classes. Come on and say amen to that. We're going to have some financial peace classes. Amen. We need some of that too. We're going to teach things that we can apply to our life that is God-given and directed, because we stand not only upon that, but we stand upon the biblical truth that God's Word provides. Amen. From last week. So we do that. We're committed, second or thirdly, to serve. There is no better way. One of my phrases is, we serve because there is no better way to be like Jesus than to serve someone else. Amen? When you're serving somebody, you are acting like Jesus would act. You're serving other people. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God has given all of us gifts. He's given all of you some way that you can minister to other people. And our job is to find out, what is it that helps to complete the work that is around us? Some of us are hands, some are feet, some are mouths, some are biceps, some are thighs. We don't know exactly what all we are. We've got to discover that. And as we put our hearts together, we say, God, use us, because let me tell you something. We are weaker without you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm weaker without you. Come on, tell them, I'm weaker without you. We have to have you because we are stronger together. Fourthly, we're committed to give. We develop spiritual maturity by giving. And you say, well, come on, Pastor, don't go there. No, I'm going to go there. Because I would not withhold upon you one of the greatest blessings that there has been in my life. I have discovered what the blessing of generosity in my life. The Lord has been abundantly generous to me and my wife. We're not great Wall Street money geniuses, but we have one thing that we have practiced since we have been married very early on, even before that. We practiced giving our first fruits to the Lord. Pastor, how can you make it given that? Because I know who holds the cattle on 1,000. I know who owns it all. And when you know who owns it all, you don't have to worry about trying to get it all because he already owns it all. We're committed to give. And I just encourage you, set some goals. Set some goals. This year, say, I want to give. I'm not tithing right now, Pastor, but I'm going to start. I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give what I can give. And begin giving to the Lord and set it, make it a priority. Make it a priority and then just do it. And I dare you. This is the only dare that you'll hear your pastor ever give you. But I dare you to try. I dare you to trust God to see if He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. And then the fifth thing that we do is we are committed to go. This church exists for one main reason. And that's to fulfill the Great Commission. He has called us to go. We are the salt and light of the world. We are the ones who the Lord has placed upon this earth to continue the work of Jesus Christ. The last words that Jesus made, and I'm not going to go too far on this because I want to talk about this next week. The last words Jesus gave were the commission of what His people, His church, was supposed to do. And the purpose of His church. So we exist not just to come together and have fellowship and to enjoy worship and to glorify God and to involve people in service. But we exist primarily to reach out to those who don't know the good news yet. Whether it's in Denton or whether we send missionaries around the world, we are committed to go. Our church is already committed to missionaries in different parts of the world, in South America, in Africa, in Southeast Asia. We're committed to those places, but we're also committed to reaching out people around in our neighborhood. I have plans this year to put out 20,000 more door hangers. We've done this before. 8 years ago, we went around Denton, and I think we knocked on almost two-thirds of every house in this city. We hung door hangers on their doors. Three people got bit by dogs, but don't let that deter you. No, I'm just kidding. We did have one. We did have one. But it was a great story. You didn't get to see Peter walk on water, but I got to see a guy really hover over a parking lot. You know, it was amazing. The dog right behind him. I want people to know about this church. Come on, somebody. I want people to know about what's in this church, and that is people who love Jesus. I want people to know about Jesus because Jesus has changed my life. Has He changed yours? Jesus has done something for me that no man, no woman could ever do for me because He has transformational power to do something that no man or woman can do, and that is to save us and redeem us and deliver us from all of our sins. And I want people to know that freedom that there exists when we give up our old self and we start something totally new. Bless God. It's because Jesus. I want people to know about Jesus. I want us to go. We're committed to those things. That's our church in a nutshell. We're committed to these things. We want to grow. The greatest tragedy would be if the end of this year, if you're sitting in the same place you were spiritually are then as you are now. That would be a tragedy. May we grow and commit ourselves to spiritual maturity this year. Let me just close with this. I talk about our commitment. Our commitment sometimes is found wanting. Because you know, Your commitments will develop you or they will destroy you, but either way, your commitments will define you. You can chew on that one for a while. One thing that does define commitment is not our commitments, but God's commitment to us. Philippians 1:6 is one of my favorite verses, and I close with this. Philippians 1:6 says that the Lord, he's talking to him, he's saying, Paul is referencing his own understanding of God. He says, I am confident of this. I have no question, I have no doubt about this, that he who began a good work in me, he who began a good work in you, what God started way back when, maybe he started it recently, maybe God started something in your life a whole long time ago, maybe you got saved at an old-fashioned altar like this, or maybe you got saved driving down the road in your car heading to work. I don't know how it happened, but way back when, I know when it all started, when he began that good work. How many of you remember that good work that God started in your life? I want you to think about it right now. Remember back when Jesus first introduced himself to you and you said yes. Remember the feeling. Remember the emotion that you felt. Remember the touch that was upon your life. Some of you are smiling at me because you're thinking about it right now. You're like, I remember that. That was the best day of my life. I remember that moment that Jesus came and said, things are now different. Remember that he who began that good work in you, that he doesn't stop, that he doesn't get tired, that he doesn't quit, that he's not going to retire, that he's not going to give up on you when you don't follow through with your plans. He's not going to stop when you fail on your commitments. But he said that he who began a good work, he will carry it on, that he will complete it to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something, church. What God has started in you, he has promised to finish in you. The Lord finishes everything that he starts, and he puts everything in to try to make you. Jesus has come to make you everything that God wants you to be. Romans 8:32 says, the Father, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is all in for you, friends. Don't get discouraged. Don't get downtrodden. Don't think that, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to make it. Don't get lost in that swamp of discouragement. Continue on, because God is going to finish everything that he started in your life. Let him finish it. When we were in Russia, I heard about a man named Vladimir. Vladimir lived in the time of close of the Soviet Union, and he was in a church there, and I was able to meet him, and I visited with Vladimir that day. He was an older man. I could tell by just the tone of his face, this grayish skin color, I could tell that this man has seen some years in his life. Vladimir began to tell me his story. He said, Pastor Scott, in that Russian, you know, language, he said, I found Jesus when I was a young man. And he said, back in the days when I was growing up here in the Soviet Union, he said, we were conscripted. You had to go into the army. And he said, I would go into the army, and he said, the army would preach that there was no God, that serving Jesus was a myth. But he said, I knew what I had experienced. I knew that he had changed my life. I knew that he had forgiven me of my sin. Vladimir said that because of my commitment to the Lord, he said, the soldiers around me mocked me severely. He said, up the chain of command, men began to find out that I was a believer and that I was a Christian. And he said, it was not a very popular thing. He said, I had known people that had made that public, and he said, they had lost their life because of it. He said, I was attached to a squadron of soldiers, and he said, we were sent out to work in some of the roads that were in part of the area that we were working in around this Russian base. And he says, as we went out there, he said, we were filling the potholes. We had been told that there was a large Arctic storm that was going to be moving down and the temperatures were going to drop very, very low. And he said, we all knew this. We were all working out there. And he says, as we're all working, he said, all of my comrades were insulting me because I had began to sing a song in my heart. He said, I was working, I was tired, and he said, I just began to sing a song to the Lord, and he said, I just began to just thank God, and he said, I was just kind of whistling and humming this song, and he said, my comrades mocked me severely. He said, as the higher chain of command found out what I was doing, they decided to make an example of me. He said, as the sun began to go down and as the cool winds began to increase, he said, it just got blistering, bitterly cold. He said, as I worked filling those potholes in on that road, the sergeant came and he told all of the other soldiers, he said, I want all of you guys to go in. It's just getting too cold. And he said, Vladimir, as I stuck my shovel in the ground to walk off, the sergeant looked at me and he said, Nit! He told him, he said, you stay. Very. He said, you stay. So I grabbed the shovel and he said, I began continuing to fill those potholes as the temperature continued to drop. He said, Pastor, I don't know exactly how cold it got that night. He said, all night long, I stood out there on that street and on that road filling potholes as the other soldiers stood inside and watched out the windows. He said, as I continued to work, he said, the only thing I could do was begin to sing. And he said, I tried. He said, as I sang, my eyes filled with tears. He said, my tears would freeze as they would go down my face. He said, all I could think about was the commitment that Jesus had made to me. I said, Vladimir, I said, what caused you to stay? What kept you out there? He said, because my Lord had committed to me so much, I felt it was only right that I stay committed to Him. Friends, Vladimir didn't make a decision about Jesus. He made a commitment for Jesus. He stayed with Him. It's that type of commitment that I want us to all make. A commitment that sticks when the temperature gets hot or cold, we're still there. And we're still saying, I praise you. Not just because of all the things you've done, but I praise you because of who you are.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.